Good evening. Welcome to our Lenten service this evening. I was just marveling. It's so nice to look out the window. Here it is 6:30 and it's not dark yet. And it's not snowing. And the wind's not blowing. And it, yay. How good it is that it seems like we have finally made it through winter and that hope of springtime. And I think in the scripture where it speaks about that springtime of refreshment to come to God's people. And one of the reasons that we hold our Lenten services is that of that reminder of Christ and what he means to us individually and as a church body and that hope, future we have in Christ. And again, just welcome this evening. And as far as announcements, really the only announcement I have, and that is that there's a council meeting after the service tonight. And then also from our bulletin on last Sunday that there's a shower for Emma on April 4th as they continue to that move to marriage. Are there other announcements this evening that anyone has that needs to be made? If not, would you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for this gathering of your people as we come to worship you, as we proceed through this season of Lent. Lord, as we reflect upon your finished work of Calvary's cross and that tremendous love that you have for sinners, that you would come, that you would endure the sufferings of and the cross of Calvary for us. Lord, we thank you for that price paid. We thank you, Lord, for that hope that it gives to us, that hope of faith that is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Lord, thank you for Pastor Tom and for Pastor Steve and Pastor Micah as they travel this evening to the various churches. Lord, we thank you that we can share in the Word, and we can share, Lord, with these men whom you have called to bring forth the truth of Christ. Lord, would you bless our worship time together, and would you bless all those who are traveling yet this evening to think of these three men and their journey home. Lord, would you watch over and keep them? And we ask this all in your precious and holy name. Amen. Our opening hymn tonight is hymn number 64, In the Cross of Christ I Glory.
Thank you.
blind. Our scripture reading this evening comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Would you please rise in respect for God's word as we read from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. Chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. And if you would remain standing, please, as we have our responsive reading this evening, and that's found in Isaiah chapter 53 on page 142 of the Ambassador Hymnal. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12, and you would respond in the letters that are written in bold. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot with portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Here ends the reading of God's word this evening. And shall we confess our faith as found in the second article of the Apostles' Creed? And you'll find that on our bulletin this evening. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, bought me and freed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with silver and gold, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his innocent sufferings and death, in order that I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Amen. You may be seated, please, and I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. And our offering again this evening during Lent is to go to our seminary in Medicine Lake. Sing of this offering. We thank you, Lord, for all that you give unto us, and Lord, for the privilege that we can give back unto you and your work. In your glorious name, amen.
Good evening. There we go. He's from Abercrombie area. Well, I just send you greetings to you from brothers and sisters in Christ at Bethany Free Lutheran Church in rural Abercrombie, 5 miles southwest of Aber. And we are so glad to be able to finally get to worship, you know, and to get to go places. And you guys get to hear other people, and we pray it's a blessing for you too, as it is for us to be here. And we just say thanks for your willingness to go with this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this opportunity to hear your word and ponder your word. And we pray that you would speak to us in this time, that you would stir us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of John and verses 13, or chapter 13, verses 31 through 38. So please stand. This, of course, takes place during the night in which Jesus washed the disciples' feet and prayed. And here we have Jesus here. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, for the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Gospel of our Lord. In just two verses, we hear the word glory a number of times. Did you count them? Okay, listen closely now. Count them this time and see how many you come up with. Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." How many times? Five. Yeah, we've counted glorified three times and glory twice. Glorified twice. It's interesting that this word glory and glorified, you know, this comes in this context because if you were to be a person of the world looking at this, you'd say, oh, this does not look like glory at all. This is not glory of the world. By giving up his life on the cross, the world would call that pretty much an unlucky thing. Now, if you know me a little bit, and you ever hear me, I hear you say the word lucky or something like that, I'll quickly say, there's no such thing as luck, you know, or something like that. There's God's blessing, but no such thing as luck. The world doesn't see it that way, though. For God and for his Son, Jesus, be glorified here, something that in the world's eye is a shameful thing happened, a terrible thing happened. It's revealed, really, the true nature of God, of who God is. Sacrificial God, a death-defeating God by going to death. Peter was a disciple of Jesus, right? And disciple means what? Literally, learner, okay? Of course we know a disciple is one who follows, right? And so one who follows Jesus here, and it's a tough thing for Peter to hear that he can't follow Jesus now. I mean, he's been following Jesus, potentially, depends on which gospel you look at, for about 3 years. Here, he's telling him, you can't follow me now? This really throws Peter for a loop. Jesus told his disciples, as he told the Jews, where I'm going cannot come. What did Jesus mean? We know what he's referring to. He's referring to his own death. Jesus gave them a new command. They were commanded to love one another. And of course, that's probably not new, to love one another. I mean, they're supposed to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know. And quoting from Deuteronomy, Jesus had, and also they're supposed to love their neighbors as themselves. They're supposed to love one another and love their enemies. They surely heard Jesus say that many times. But here, the difference is that they're to love one another, of course, as Jesus loves them. How he showed his love for them is how they're to love one another. That is a big difference. We all know that doing that is not easy, is it? Right? It's not easy to love one another the way Jesus loved us. But it is a command of Jesus as well, and that's how we will, I guess that's how other people are going to see us, Christians, and say, hey, there's something different about them. Look how they love each other. They don't just love each other as the world does. They love each other with an unusual kind of love. 19th century English preacher sensation Charles Spurgeon said that we are to love our neighbors ourselves, but we are to love our fellow Christians as Christ loved us, and that is far more than we love ourselves. It really is, isn't it? For love as Christ loved us is far more than we love ourselves. It's like the command did not even faze Peter when he heard these things. It's like he was still stuck on, where are you going? And where are you going to? He wants to know specifically where Jesus is going. And Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. He didn't like that answer. Peter asks a question with much devotion and commitment. He says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. That's a serious commitment, isn't it? I mean, I don't remember the last time at a wedding when the deep commitments are made to one another and say, I'm going to lay down my life for you. Though I think that's probably what's implied, you know, for sickness, for health, whatever. But to lay down your life for another person, that's very significant. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, and this, I think this might be what Peter might have been holding on to maybe when he says he's going to lay down his life for him and so on. Because Jesus had said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He was willing to follow Jesus no matter what, even if he had to die for him. Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. Jesus also knew the future, and Peter had this emotion and this commitment, but Peter did not yet see what Jesus must do. He didn't yet see what Jesus had to do. Sometimes certain things have to wait so something greater can happen. How Jesus would pour himself out for Peter, for his followers. That's what he'd have to see. He'd have to see what Jesus' love really is like. Peter did not have the soon-to-be-resurrected Lord yet. He didn't know what was going to happen these next days, though I'm sure he'd been told. Peter was not yet ready to follow Jesus, not to where he was going, not to death. We know that because of what Jesus said. Can you imagine if Jesus would say to us, will you really lay down your life for me? Then hear that he's going to betray him? Wow. That hurts. But Peter was not ready to follow Jesus. Not there. Because Jesus must first go there. Christ must first die for Peter before Peter can die for him. That was a man named Clark who said that. Peter would deny knowing Jesus three times before the rooster would crow. Peter wasn't ready. Wasn't. He didn't have what he needed. Sometimes certain things have to wait before something greater can happen. Later on, after Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, Peter would eventually be filled with the Holy Spirit and faithfully follow, proclaim the good news of Jesus. But until that time, Peter could not follow where Jesus was going. No one could. Only Jesus could go there. Only Jesus could die on our behalf. Later on, of course, in the Bible, we've got 1 Peter. And we hear this in chapter 2, the Peter after the great things happened. Peter said, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." That's what Peter said. He'd learned. He'd been through it. Peter, after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, could say that, but not before. Sometimes certain things have to wait so something greater can happen. We experience that phrase kind of a lot in life. You know, somebody wants to drive the car. They want to get their license or their permit, but they can't do it until they're a certain age. You can't vote. A lot of people want to go vote. But you can't vote until you reach a certain age. Unless, of course, you live in different states, and that's another story. Friends, a certain thing has already happened, hasn't it? That greater thing. We know about that. We need not wait to follow. Why can't I follow you now? It's not really a question that we ask. Perhaps it might be similar to it, like, why shouldn't I follow you now? Nothing's stopping me. Nothing should stop me from a deeply committed life to Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to follow. No waiting is necessary. Not anymore. Repentance of sin, receiving God's grace because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. We know it's not easy to love one another with the love of Jesus, but it is so important. And obviously, it's one of those things that's impossible to do apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from faith in Jesus. Because like Peter said, he has set the model for us to follow in his steps. I mean, we can do that now by God's grace, faith in Jesus. We can follow Jesus now. Maybe some of us will lose our lives because of Jesus. I don't know. I don't know what your future holds, and I don't know what the future of this nation is or where you might travel, dangers you might face. Perhaps we will. I hope we don't have to, but you know, possibility. We can all lose our lives in the sense of letting him lead our life and guide our life. Either way, Jesus first went and he obtained the victory for Peter, for all who place their trust in him. They had that forgiveness and that eternal life, that grace, because Jesus first went where no one else could go. We know by tradition, Peter did go to that place where Jesus went, but he lived a life of faith. That was happening. And we praise God and thank him for that. So, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, follow Jesus by his grace, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Peter really, really wanted to. So willing, he said, I'd die for you. But at that time, he couldn't. It wasn't time. Our time is now to follow. Let's pray. Lord God, You, Lord Jesus, are the one who paved the way, prepared the way. You helped Peter through his difficult and challenging time. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of mercy and grace. You call even us to follow. Help us, God, to ask that question of, how can I better follow you? Show us that, Lord. And lead us by your Holy Spirit, by your grace, to accomplish what you call us to do. Thank you, Lord God, especially for the opportunity to love one another. That's, I think, the biggest one. Help us to love one another, God, with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn this evening is number 447, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. And should we rise as we sing this together, please? Would you join together as we close our service tonight by praying our Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And our benediction tonight comes from Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen. Go in his peace.